Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Radio show tonight. It is January the 17th, 2018. Moving on through this month. And it has been cold, frigid. How are you, Featherlight?
Namaste. Namaste. It indeed has been chilly, willy, bodilly.
Honey. Man. It is beyond chilly willy bodilly. It is freezing. I mean, I am just freezing. Let me put my little cushion back on this mic. 1 second. Welcome in, everybody. Let me just get my mic together here. Pardon me.
Pardon me while I get my mic together. Pardon me while I get my equipment on.
Okay. I think that's better.
Okay.
So namaste to you, Featherlight. Namaste to Scotty. Namaste to everyone that is tuned in tonight with Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And we are raising our frequencies and lifting our vibrations in 2018, hoping that everyone can have a prosperous year this year and beyond, and have your intentions and reach your goals and live in prosperity, live your most wildest and beautiful dreams, make them come true. Mm-hmm. Wishing you all the best. I just wanted to open up with that, just saying something positive like that. Just
yes.
Because, you know, I was on Twitter, and this person sent a message. Well, wrote a message, videoed them writing a message saying, this is for you. If you feel that you're having a bad day, I just want you to know that you are amazing. Aww. Exclamation point. I said, oh, that's so thoughtful. Yeah. That's so thoughtful. So I just wanted to say something thoughtful today. So, yay.
Appreciate it.
And Featherlight, this is your 1 year anniversary, so we want to thank you and congratulate you for joining us here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show and speaking your truth and sharing all of your wisdom.
Well, so it has been a wonderful year, a growth for me. This is for people who did not know prior to this year. This has been a step out for me because I'm opening up my throat chakra. And it has been for so long difficult for me to express my feelings, my emotions, myself, my needs, and all of that. So coming on the radio station live every week, I mean, this is really, as my theme song said, coming out.
Coming out.
Coming out.
It's been a long time coming, baby, and you came on out. Because yes. People don't know I had to pull her in kicking and screaming to weave her into the show. And now she just takes over. So I'm just like, hey, girl, you just do your thing. And I'm going to stay to you, too.
I think we need to do this.
I don't like this. And I'm going to stay to you, honey. Namaste. Okay. Yes. So, well, thank you so much for all your contributions, though. We really enjoy you having. We really enjoy having you here, and you contribute so much, and you're helping to elevate the show in so many ways. And we love you, and namaste. So let me share a quote, our inspirational quote. Stars can not shine without darkness. Stars cannot shine without darkness. So sometimes we may have those gloomy moments, but they're only moments. They're only moments. And you will still rise. And we have to have some gloominess, some darkness, so that those strong powers that we have inside will be activated. It's just like if we're in a dark room, notice how within seconds, your eyes begin to adjust and you can see your way around the room. So that's life. We adjust. We become nimble. We are nimble and fungible. And so we just flex and shift and adjust. And that it is. Featherlight, do you have a quote? I think your mic is jacked up again because you were quite quiet. And I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Featherlight. So I'll just read this other quote that I have. The things that excite you are not random. They are connected to your purpose. So follow them. Things that excite you are not random. They are connected to your purpose. So follow them. Things that excite you, what you find joy in engaging in, then go for it. Go for it. That's your passion. If you're not already making your living from that, try it. Try it out as a hobby. So follow what excites you. I love that. Follow what excites you. It's not random. That's your purpose. That's something that you are supposed to do. That's something that you're here for. All right. Featherlight, you got that mic together? Come on now, get your mic together. You're destroying the flow. Featherlight, you're destroying the flow. Your mic all jacked up. So let me just... I don't hear. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Scotty, can you hear Featherlight? I'm not hearing it through my headphones.
Yeah, I don't hear her now. I don't know what happened. Maybe.
Okay. I thought maybe I just having a little difficulty. So let me just go on to some hot topics while Featherlight's getting that mic together. Again, did anybody hear about the California mayor? His name is Michael Tubbs. He made history by becoming Stockton, California's first African-American mayor and the youngest mayor to ever serve a city with a population of over 100,000 people. This 27-year-old launched an initiative to provide basic income to Stockton residents and help them maintain a stable living, He has also announced a plan to help his city students afford college, and that is the initiative, and that the initiative has received a $20 million grant. So let me break down the financials on this. Let's see. So within that district, students heading to a four-year institution will receive $4,000. That's $1,000 per year. And those going to a two-year institution will receive $1,000, $500 a year. And this program will begin in 2019. So I think that that's, that may be an initiative that can really help people, maybe lift some people out of poverty, be a pathway, perhaps. Some people are saying that of the philosophy that we shouldn't pay into college tuitions anymore because of the job market. There's so many avenues now where you can learn online, take a few classes. But for those people that are interested in a formal college education, I say go for it. I did it. It was something that was considered normal in my family. I was not the first person to attend college. It was expected, rather. Let me say it was something that was expected. Let's see. Featherlight, you have that mic together? Let's see. Yes. Let's see if we can hear you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh. All right. Fabulous.
Okay, we have you. You want to share your quote? I'll pick back up on the hot topic.
Excuse me. If you are not conscious of what you eat may one day eat you. Let me repeat that. If you're not conscious of what you eat may one day eat you. Because it's all about what we are putting inside of our bodies as to how well our bodies will perform. And here's a tag on to that one. And if you are not conscious of your health may at some point be the only thing you are conscious of. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a good example of that very briefly. A neighbor of mine who I met, a retired gentleman, we were very neighborly. Hi, how are you doing? Chat. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us were working, so we had time to sit around and chat. But the problem was his only chat was his health. That's all he talked about. What surgeries he was going to have, what surgeries he had, what surgeries he might need, what his insurance may or may not cover, how many oxygen tanks he had one for this and one for when he went to the store. And it got to be such a weight on me to just listen to nothing else. And I would say, well, you know, I paint. Well, you know, I draw. You know, I'm going to have a little function for the children. You want to hear about it? Nope. It will weave all the way back to his health. So it got so that whenever I saw him coming, I'd duck. I did. I would peep out and I'd see him, and I would like get away from the blinds because he could look up and see me.
You'd so avoid
Yes, because I wanted to talk. Because the more you talk about something, the more you become a part of it.
Words are spells.
Right. I did not want to just start thinking about, oh, I could get that way, you know. So that's what that last quote was all about. If you don't become conscious of it now, it may be the only thing you can talk about. And like my brother, whenever I call him, it's all about his health, how bad he's feeling that day.
Yeah.
All right, so that is my contribution in quotes.
All right. Thank you. So picking back up on the hot topics, did you hear what I said about the guy, the new mayor, Tubbs, in Stockton? He's offering the scholarships to the students. So yeah. I'm so happy about that.
Yes, that's very good.
You know, we always talk about what people are not doing.
Right.
Yeah, we always like to highlight when someone is contributing to society. So we just wanted to share that one. Now, this fallout on this H&M monkey hoodie story. My goodness. Okay, so people may know by now. So the mother is a native of Kenya. And so Kenyans have, of course, a different cultural experience and a societal experience than we do here in America as Black Americans, diasporic Africans, if you will. And so to her, the whole "I'm the coolest monkey" hoodie that her child modeled was not offensive. And she basically told everyone that people were making a big issue out of nothing and to get over it. Well, guess who didn't want to get over it? The EFF, I think that's the Economic Freedom Fighters Party in South Africa, went into the malls in South Africa. And they went in there doing, you know, I love to see those Africans when they do that chant and dance. And it's like they on some different kind of frequency and vibration, the way that they move. I just love it. It yes. just chills through me when I watch them. And they doing that Amandala and doing the little march they do with their fist up. And, oh, I just love it, baby. Soweto. Ow. anyway, so the EFF party went into the malls. They went in there with their chatting and singing. I guess they thought they were going to do like these little Black folks here in America, just, you know, go through the mall with their chants and human, what do they call them? Human microphones and human whatever it is, when they do that.
Arms.
Calling and stuff. But baby, they went in, they went into those malls when they finished with their chanting and their dancing and marching. Some of them went in there and they tore those H&M stores up. I'm not condoning violence. Let me just say that. But they went in there because they were tired.
Yes.
And they were angry.
Fine.
And so many people are tired and they're angry and they're fed up with being disrespected.
Right.
Fed what up with the insults and the mistreatment. And the debasement and the degrading of our persons and our essence. And so, I mean, they vandalized those stores. I mean, and you saw the video, Featherlight. I mean, they were like slamming those racks down, like, take that. Yeah, now, who's the monkey now? I got your monkey H&M.
Yes.
So I said, oh, my goodness. I had to clutch my invisible pearls. But, I said, oh, people are tired. People are tired. And, you know, of course, people were saying, oh, you know, violence is not the answer and all of that. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that violence is the answer. But how do you expect for people to respond?
Right.
There is no book on how to respond.
It is. It's no book. It's no, I mean, you try this, you try that. It's, hey, they were trying something different.
Well, I'm not going to say there's not a book on how to respond, but there's no perfect way. There's no one exact way.
Yeah,
because people are different. People are different.
They
so
certainly are.
Groups are different. Within groups, you have different opinions and personalities, and you often have conflicts amongst groups. I've been in those groups. Just about every group I've been in, there have been conflicts amongst us. Even though we were all
Started with this one goal, one aim.
The one goal, one aim, like Marcus Garvey said, yes, we're fighting for liberation, but just like there were differences between Malcolm and Martin and Du Bois and Garvey and Du Bois and who was it? Booker T. Washington. We have our conflicts. Everybody doesn't, we all don't, we may not all have the perfect right response or answer. But as Scotty mentioned, you all have something to contribute. We all have something that we can contribute. Figure out what that is.
Figure out what yours is.
Yeah. Yours may be marching. Yours may be phone calling. Yours may be painting a picture. Yours may be writing. Whatever it is, find out what it is and do it. Yours may be trying to teach and uplift children like Marva Collins.
Right.
So, just figure out what it is. I want to talk about this just briefly about Serena Williams. You know, Serena Williams and her husband, they have their baby, a little girl. I think the little girl name is Olympia. And so she writes, she gives an interview, and I think it's Vogue magazine, and she speaks about her near-death experience during labor, after labor, post-labor. So I'm just going to read what she said in the interview. She says, the next day while recovering in the hospital, she fell short of breath, okay? Because of her history of blood clots and because she was off of her daily anticoagulant regimen due to the recent surgery, Serena immediately assumed she was having another pulmonary embolism. She lives in fear of blood clots because remember when she suffered from that blood clot and she had to take some time off and right. She came back and I think she came back the following season and won Wimbledon.
She did.
So she walked out of the hospital room so her mother wouldn't worry, and she told the nearest nurse between gaps, listen, I'm like the guy that used to sit in Farrakhan's audience, listen. Okay, so between gaps she told the nurse that she needed a CT scan with contrast and an IV heparin, a blood thinner, right away. Mm. Sounding like a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. The nurse thought, look how they undermined you. The nurse thought her pain medication might be making her confused. Mm. But Serena insisted, and soon enough, a doctor was performing an ultrasound of her legs. Now, this is what Serena says. I was like a Doppler. I told you I need a CT scan and a heparin drip. I'm saying it in my Serena voice. You know, that's how she talks. I told you I need a CT scan and a heparin drip. She remembers telling the team the ultrasound revealed nothing. So they sent her for the CT, and sure enough, several small blood clots had settled in her lungs. Minutes later, she was on the drip. Serena said, I was like, listen to Dr. Williams. So it's been long established that Black women fare worse in pregnancy and childbirth dying at a rate more than triple that of white mothers. And while part of the disparity can be attributed to factors like poverty and inadequate access to health care, there is growing evidence that points to quality of care at hospitals where a disproportionate number of Black women deliver, which are often in neighborhoods disadvantaged by segregation. This is what Annie Waldman writes. Black women in pregnancy. You can Google different articles. You can Google this topic, and you'll find different articles speaking about how so many Black women have died after labor or during labor at the hands of these practitioners. And it's for various reasons, as mentioned. It could have been not receiving the prenatal treatment, the hospital, whatever the case. So I think that this is something that we really need to talk about as women and figure out how can we prevent these deaths? Because that's got to be so awful. I mean, this is a joyous moment for most people, having a baby. Just think of a husband and a wife, and then you have the baby's born, but your wife, the mother, dies. Why? All because of something that could have been prevented. So thankfully, Serena had enough sense and was able to stand up and speak her truth, because so many of us are afraid to give doctors instructions because we think they know everything because they went to medical school. But who knows your body better than you? And you know when you're feeling pain, and you know what needs to be done, especially when you're someone like her or in a situation like Serena. When you know, you've experienced this, you know what it is, you know the routine. And so for the nurses to just undermine her assessment of herself, it could have caused her to lose her life. And so what are your thoughts on that, Featherlight? Feather. Okay. I don't know what's going on with your mic tonight, Featherlight. It's acting up again. So, Scotty, you said something similar happened to you.
Yes, ma'am.
It happens to a lot of people. What happened to you?
I had.
Did you know?
Yes, I had a serious injury to my spine, but it wasn't that serious that I could not walk. I had put a brace on my leg, and so I was walking like that. So I filed for workman's comp, right? And so they put me in the physical therapy, and they had me like putting on electrical stimulation to my muscles or whatever. And then they had me doing exercise on one of those step machines. So I'm thinking they know what they doing. So I'm going at this step machine. I'm trying to get better. You know what I'm saying? And so then that very next day, I fell out on the floor, couldn't walk. I mean, my body started shaking so badly. And what it kind of find out was I had injury to my spine to where that cartilage that's in your spine, I don't know the proper medical term for it, was leaking out and pushing into my sciatic nerve. And that aggravated when they had me on that step machine, that just aggravated and made it worse. I had to go to the emergency room. I almost passed out from the pain. So they gave me some Percocet at the emergency room. So when I went back, I told them people, I had a serious injury. And y'all practicing some kind of malpractice up in here because you ain't gave me no kind of CAT scan or no x-ray or nothing. And they quit seeing me after that.
Now, were you going to the VA or?
No. I was injured on the job. So this was through workman's comp. And they referred me to, you know, this physical therapy center or something like that. I'll never forget. I went and I told them, I said, y'all practicing malpractice, man. You should have seen the look on their faces.
You said, y'all practicing malpractice in here. I don't know what kind of hospital this is. Shoot, death ward. And some of these hospitals, oh my God, it's scary. When I was in nursing school, that's when I realized these doctors don't know anything. You do better seeing a nurse. You have a better chance with a nurse, because when I was in nursing school, we were the ones that were going to see the patients. We would figure out what the problem is. We would come back and tell the doctors. And not saying that all doctors are like this. I'm just saying some of them at some of the hospitals, because there are some very good doctors. I just read a story about one. But yeah, we would come and we would share with the doctor our findings, and then they would go and speak with their other doctors and go through all the medical journals and books, and then they'll come back and say, well, it sounds like it might be this, so we'll try this and this and this. I said, Lord have mercy, these people kill somebody in here. So I believe you, Scotty. They're practicing, like you said, they've been practicing some malpractice, because some of it just does not seem right. Some of those some of their actions, very, very questionable. And my grandmother was a nurse. She retired as a nurse, and goodness gracious, she would tell us about all those horror stories. So, well, I'm glad that you survived that, Scotty, and you're here with us. Feather Light is having some difficulties with her microphone, so maybe she'll be joining us shortly here. I'll just move on with this next hot topic that I have. I'm not going to talk a lot about this. I just want to kind of bring this up because we are working with Women United, and we're pushing a campaign. We'll be talking more about that. Reparations for Black women, all the trauma that we've experienced, rape, being traumatized, brutalized in so many ways, continuously for centuries. And so I was listening to this professor from Austin, Texas, and she spoke about Black women and the trauma associated with police brutality, and how our communities are occupied in such a way that it's traumatic and terrifying to Black women, because we're dealing with our sons. You know how so many parents are worried about their children, they're worried about their children, period, male or female. And so she speaks about how this trauma that's associated with police brutality is causing the death of Black women. We just saw that Erica Garner passed, right, due to the stress, the asthma attack, and which escalated to the heart attack. Kalief Browder's mom, and I need to watch that Netflix documentary on Kalief Browder. I just hadn't been in the headspace to watch it because I know how his story ends, but I do want to watch that documentary because everybody knows I love documentaries. So, but Kalief Browder's mother, Kalief Browder was a young man that was accused of stealing the backpack, and then he was jailed in Rikers Island for 3 years and brutalized in jail by other inmates and guards. And once he was released, after being incarcerated for 3 years, held captive for stealing a backpack. The boy said he didn't even steal the backpack. That's the crazy thing about it. And I believe the person that accused him of stealing the backpack actually admitted that somebody else had stolen the backpack, but he was still incarcerated, still held captive. So anyway, once he was released, you know, Kalief Browder committed suicide. And he got a chance to meet Jay-Z and Jay-Z was working on some projects with him, I believe. But Kalief Browder's mother died from a heartbreak, died from a broken heart, because she was the one that found her son hanging, and she was fighting all of these legal battles, and it just broke her heart, and she died. And then there's another story, this Brazilian woman. Her child was shot in the car. He was killed by police officers. He was in a car with four of the young men. All of them were killed. Police officers lied and said that the children had a gun and all this. And this was like a teenager. So she ended up dying from a heart attack also. And, you know, like Babadook Gregory says, I think it's Babadook Gregory that said that, a heart attack is your heart. It's attacking your body. It's just broken. It's hurt. And that's why we want to focus here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show about healing our hearts. We're going to move to healing our hearts, because so many of us have hurt hearts and torn spirits and broken souls. And we are going to a place of repairment. Time to repair. Get our strength. We're going to get our strength back. Get our power back. All right. Any thoughts, Featherlight? Comments? Because I don't know if your mic is jacking up. If I don't hear you talking, I'm thinking your mic is jacked, which I guess it is jacked. So now this show, Black Lighting, did not watch it. I heard it premiered last night. It's one of those fictional superhero DC comic shows, kind of like Luke Cage, I believe. And this character was created by writer Tony Isabella and artist Trevor Von Eaton. And this particular Black Lighting series first appeared in April 1977. See, I never was into comics, so I'm totally unfamiliar with any of these characters. Now, this was apparently during the Bronze Age of comic books. And so Black Lightning is a member of a fictional subspecies of humans born with superhuman abilities known as metahumans in the DC universe. I will check it out. I'll give my reviews. I'll let you know. I've been hearing some rave reviews about this new series, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I am looking forward to also seeing the Black Panther movie when it comes out next month. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Yes. So another little hot topic. Nike officially announced release dates for the 2018 Black History Month collection of tennis shoes. And let's see, LeBron James has a signature tennis shoe. It features the date July 13th, 2016. That's printed on the Zoom Air Bubble. And this is a nod to the moment when he took the stage with Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, and Dwayne Wade at the EPSI Awards to speak out against racial profiling. So I know I heard some people saying that we shouldn't purchase those shoes because Nike's profiting off of Black history and Black people. I don't know. I'm not going to buy the shoes, but I mean, I would like to hear what you have to say about it. If you think that we should or should not purchase the shoes, if you think it's a great idea, maybe Nike is acknowledging Black history. That's their way of acknowledging Black history. So some people may feel like, yeah, we should buy these shoes. It's about our culture. So yes, let's buy them. Some people may say, no, Nike's profiting off of us. Because I think I did see like some RBG shoes too. And some people are saying, no, don't purchase those shoes. It's not by a Black company. Okay, so, well, you're welcome to share your thoughts. You can share your thoughts on any of the hot topics, the tennis shoes, the mayor in California, any of our hot topics, or anything you'd like to share. Also, your intentions. If you have some intentions that you would like to share, share your intentions for 2018. We'd love to hear your intentions because we are focused on our intentions. Now, one thing that I did not do in 2017 that I had intentions on doing, I did half of it. It don't count, though. I did want to learn how to sew. I purchased a sewing machine, but I have not learned how to sew. So I added that to my list for 2018. Stay on track and accomplish that. So, gotta do it, gotta do it. All right, and happy birthday to Eartha Kitt. Happy birthday to Michelle Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama. And happy birthday to the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali. Happy birthday. Let's see a Featherlight, because Featherlight, you have your Love the Body piece. You have your situation together? No, she doesn't have it together yet. Hey, Scotty, can you play some music for us and let me try to get her mic together if you're still there?
Sure.
All right, great. Thank you. So we'll be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. We'll be right back with Featherlight, Love the Body.
Still.
Back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. All right, Featherlight?
Yes.
Yay! All right. Okay. Now, you had some news about Essence magazine?
Essence, yes. So, as we said before, we like to give props to what's going on that's good. So, Essence magazine is now back again, black on. Yes, it was acquired by Essence Ventures on Wednesday in a deal last Wednesday, in a deal that led the way for the beloved black women's magazine to now be 100% black owned. So, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of information in there about the gentleman. Get your subscription back going. This acquisition of Essence represents the beginning, I'm quoting, of an exciting transformation of our iconic brand as it evolves to serve the needs and interests of multi-generational black women around the world in an even more elevated and comprehensive way across print, digital, e-commerce, and experimental platforms. As importantly, we are excited to be able to return this cultural, relevant, and historically significant platform to ownership by the people and the consumers whom it serves, and offer new opportunities for the women leading the business to also be partners in the business. So, Essence launched in 1970 and has since become a standard for celebrating diverse images of black women. Its brand has extended to black girl magical events such as the Essence Festival in New Orleans. So, congrats.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Because, you know, I didn't renew my subscription with Essence for a few years after the subscription, after the magazine just seemed to take a different turn, and I just wasn't pleased with many of the articles, so I just discontinued my subscription. So,
did I?
Yeah, I'll resubscribe now.
I have another kudos to Scotty Reed and his entire network. Black Talk Radio Network was listed as one of the 11 black podcasts that are a must-listen in 2018. That's a title. In the online black media publication called The Black Detour, it's a digital media platform providing an unbiased, unfiltered, often thought-provoking conversation transcending black culture, close quote. This post was published on January 11th. So that is a wonderful, wonderful,
yes,
you know, props for yes, Scotty, all the work that he does. And to continue these efforts, we need your financial support. We're trying to reach 5,000 subscribers, 6,000 members to the BTR social network this year. So please, please donate, donate, and donate. Thank you.
Yes, you can always go to the Black Talk Radio Network media page and you can donate. You can get your subscription. You can listen to all of the different shows. But as she mentioned, we really need the donations to keep Black Talk Radio Network alive. We see what happened with Roland Martin. So we have to be in control of our own platforms. And Scotty is doing that. So let's
and
take care of
it. It is less than $25 a year to become a member of Black Talk Radio Network. Our social media network. It is for real. It's not fake. There and you will not be censored.
There you go. That's right. That's right. All right, then. So you have your Love the Body?
Love the Body. Okay, let me talk a little bit about... according to traditional Chinese medicine, disease is the result of blocked or stagnant energy. We talk about energy a lot because we really want to get that across, how everything's energy. We've talked about how blocked or stagnated energy affects our emotions, which control our actions, how we feel about ourselves, and how we interact with each other. Both Tai Chi and Qi Yang have the same basic property. They deal with qi, your energy. They have the same fundamental principle, which is relaxation. They have the same method, which is slowness and controlled breathing, controlling the flow of your qi and synchronizing both together. And so the result is improved fitness, longevity, and well-being. So we are incorporating Qiyang into our breathing sessions, and Tai Chi is something that you would have to actually see, because it's one movement after the other, they follow each other in a pattern, whereas Qiyang, you can just do one and stop and do something else and stop. So out of the two, I concentrate mostly on that. So I have a recipe which I have posted on the BTR social media. It's called the Mean Green Smoothie. And this smoothie is full of nutrients and it's packed with superfoods like kale and ginger and lime juice, which flushes toxins out of your body while nourishing your cells in the process. Now, of all the superfoods, watercress tops the list. So if you have watercress, which is kind of difficult to find, watercress, but if you can find it, get it instead of kale. And I always add chia seeds to all of my smoothies. So I'm going to run through this right quick, but you can look it up on the BTR Network page. One ripe banana, it's called a Mean Green Smoothie. One ripe banana frozen overnight, 3/4 cup spinach, loosely packed, 3/4 cup curly kale, stems removed, 1/2 cup carrots, chopped, 1 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, 1 tablespoon fresh parsley, 1 teaspoon fresh lime juice, and 8 ounces of water, and 4 ice cubes. So, the combination of these ingredients will help fight toxins in the air, which, as you know, there's a lot of toxins going around because of the illnesses that we're having. So this would be a wonderful smoothie to boost up your immune system. And I'll run that to you for one more time quickly, but you can look it up. One ripe banana frozen overnight, 3/4 cup spinach, loosely packed, 3/4 cup curly kale, stems removed, 1/2 cup carrots, chopped, 1 teaspoon freshly grated ginger, 1 tablespoon fresh parsley, 1 teaspoon fresh lime juice, and 8 ounces of water, 4 ice cubes. Place them all in a smoothie and blend like crazy. And you can add some chia seeds for thickness and extra nutrients if you like.
Great. So if they want to actually be able to print out the recipe or just see the recipe, because I know nobody was able to write that down, even after you said it a second time, this will encourage you to go on to the BTR page, get your subscription. That way you'll be able to see the recipes and all of the other information that we share on the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show page on BTR. Yay. All right. I think we have a caller. Caller 507. Question or comment?
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
Hey, I see. Hello. How are you?
Well, good. Hi. Evening.
Number
wonderful
day,
women.
Number say, it's been a long time.
Yes, it has. And I got all my recipe down the second time you gave it. You know, I'll be trying it tomorrow. I'm sitting up in here thinking, let's see now. I can't believe it. You will not absolutely believe that I have every one of these items in the house. Can you believe that?
You have a healthy cupboard and a healthy refrigerator.
I can't even believe I got everything.
Wow, that's great. Oh, that is really good. You don't have to run out of anything.
I cannot believe I got all of this stuff in the house. Only because I just left Costco to the tune about $400 a little bit early.
Oh, my goodness. I need to come
My boys eat a lot.
Yes, we have some growing boys.
I got 3 boys here. 14. 11 and 9. You know that's some food, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And that don't for the basics. My basics in the cupboard would be my black-eyed peas, navy beans, brown beans, red beans. That's what we throw in for fillers.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good fiber.
Them boys can eat.
Wow. I know they can. Those growing boys. Well, you can start blending your smoothie tomorrow morning.
I can, because I'm going to run down soon as we finish downstairs, get me a banana, and throw it in the freezer.
Oh, okay.
I just can't believe I got all this stuff. Yay.
I'm so happy
for
you.
Man. But, yes, anyway, that is so awesome. And I was really happy to hear about Essence Magazine, because I think we all in the same boat. We kind of let it go up a little bit because they just got a little bit too white. I'm going to go on and tell it like it is.
Oh, you just said it. You just said it, didn't you, Mother Hattie? Oh, my God.
I had to. I know. I just run my mouth too much sometimes.
Somebody, you're speaking the truth. It's time. You're speaking the truth.
Because I used to love my Jet. I really like Jet and Ebony. I love those two. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I didn't like about Jet was the little lady in the middle with the little skimpy clothes on. I don't like that. I just didn't.
Oh, the swimsuit model. Yeah, the swimsuit model.
Yeah. I just think that's a little bit sexist for nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is for that.
Only way I would like it if they had one page for the ladies and one page for the men.
You know what? Why didn't they ever have a man? Yes, see, now that's discriminatory.
Well, that's what I said. It's just
really
a little sexist for me.
It is.
It's just a little sexist. But and I really don't want either
show
one of them. Either
both.
One of them, right? Show both. But I really don't want either one of them. And then what I really want them to show is our intellect. More than anything else. I want to show our intellect and our wisdom, those kinds of things. That's what I would love to see on a center page. So anyway, enough of the old fogey over here tonight.
Well, you know, about the old fogey. That's a great idea to write into Jet Magazine about. I haven't purchased a Jet in so long, you know, because all the black magazines, they moved them off the, rack that's by the...
Yeah.
Cashier, by the counter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't even really see those magazines in a pronounced fashion anymore. So I don't even see Jet. I remember.
Well, I don't either, and I don't even know, is it still in print?
I think the Jet went online, as a matter of fact. Oh, but that's just been maybe 2 years, I believe. But I remember going into the airport, and I couldn't find an Ebony, I couldn't find a Jet, I couldn't find an Essence. And I remember speaking to them about that. The fact that I couldn't, you know how in the airport you see every magazine you never seen in your life.
Exactly.
But you didn't even know they existed.
It was like, like our People magazine, black people. You know how People magazine, you could catch up on all the little stuff in a quick little glimpse. So.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But we are excited about our reparations. Excited.
Yes.
And Sister Shear has set up all kinds of things for us to go on and to be better out there, because we just kind of felt like, okay, everybody's bringing up all of the sexism, the harassment all over the place. And so the white ladies have set the stage, and the black women are saying, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. So let's talk about some reparations for black women who have, since we left Africa on slave ships, were raped, molested, harassed, murdered, done everything too, from then on up until now. And this is still the same thing. Because you can look at any city USA, and that's what we're getting ready to look at on another level, and working with the Million Woman March, how is it that all of these murders and rapes of black women are unsolved mysteries? And so we're going to just take a look at throughout the country. So everybody in your city, go and ask your city council for the statistics around unsolved murders, rapes of African-American women. Because black women have another statistic. There is a statistic for all women, and someone asked me, well, why don't we just ask for it for all women? Well, we have it for all women. We want to see what is it for black women specifically, because we're the ones who black women are being murdered, not even just by whoever, the men, strangers, policemen. So we have a whole different set of circumstances, and so we want to deal with that. But bottom line is, we're going to talk about some reparations from past history up until now on all of the degradation, degrading, all of the awful things, atrocities that have happened to us every Thursday night. And I hope Sister Shira, Black Rose, has already told everybody she will be moderating this wonderful conversation, along with myself and Dr. Mary Whitney, and guess who? Delta Cougar. So
Delta Cougar.
That's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome conversation. And we're not just going to do conversation. We're actually putting together a plan of demand. And so we started that, and absolutely ecstatic about this new step here. And we just want also anyone who wants to do that to check us out.
And I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'll give out the conference call number. Should I give out the conference?
Ooh.
Okay. I'll give out
absolutely.
The number. And people can join in the call. And we do welcome men on that call also, if they would like to share.
Yes. And I know wonderful Asha has a great kind of wisdom that she could put in and add into this conversation as well. So we are looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And we have a letter from one of our listeners that we will share. And you can share your thoughts when we return. We'll be right back.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
All right, so yes, join BTR Community today. We're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and Mother Hattie is sharing information about our new campaign through Women United. We want reparations for Black women for the rape and all the atrocities that we have experienced, in particular, that are specific to Black women. And we have a hashtag. WU, hashtag WU for Women United Reparations Act. And we also have hashtag Black Women Recompense for the number for rape. Black Women Recompense for rape. So follow Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show on the Twitters, MBS Radio, at MBS Radio. And you can also follow Women United at Black BL, actually it's at BLK Women United. BLK Women United. So follow Women United, follow Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show so you can keep up and stay informed with this campaign because we want you involved. And you can also join the call every Thursday night from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Central. And the conference line number is 515-603-4910. The code is 732-385. And that's 515-603-4910. PIN code 732-385. All right. So let me just share quickly this quote. And then if anyone has any comments, that'd be great. Let me show you comments. Right. You don't need someone else's permission to live your own life.
No.
You don't need someone else's permission to live your own life. Live your life. Live it, live it, live it. It's, I always say this. This is your show. It's your play. Everybody else, they're just actors and extras.
They didn't write the script. They can be dismissed at any time.
They can be dismissed and replaced. Mm-hmm. So live your life. Live your life. Live your life. Live your life. So we have Delta. Let me welcome Delta in.
Hello?
Delta.
Good evening, ladies.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Nice little vibe. Very, 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 very calming and relaxing.
Oh, great. Well, we're glad that you called.
Thank you.
Do you have a comment?
Well, I have a question that may be a bit controversial, but I think you ladies are probably the perfect people to tackle it, to be honest. So here goes. You know, I have a friend who he's Nigerian. Now he's married, got children. And I asked him this question last night on another show. I don't think I got an answer. But anyway, so I asked him when he's in the old shows that like Roots and other shows like that, when you know the man's wife was about to give baby, they would like kick him out of the room because it was like spiritual and mystical thing that only women.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to nowadays, where everybody's all up in the operating room and et cetera, et cetera. So I asked this guy, he's from Nigeria, Africa, you know, he's living here now, if he was in the room when his wife gave birth. And he said no, they wouldn't let him in there. He had to wait until, you know, they presented his child to him. I'm just wondering what side of the, what do you think about that? Do you think we've lost that kind of cultural way, or do you think it's okay that the modern way of, you know, doing things, or, you know, I'm a little curious about
mm-hmm.
that.
So basically, you're wondering, should the with the change, I guess, in the formalities of labor delivery, once the men were outside of the room, because the men will be outside in the hallway or outside the house or wherever the case, whatever the case, and the women were just there, the midwives or just the woman in the hospital room delivering. So what do you ladies think?
Well, I'll tell you, mm-hmm. I have thoughts about that one. And my thought is simply this. He was there when it was conceived. He was there all the way. Why kick him out now? He needs to be right in that little room when it's going down. And I'm going to tell you why it's really critical that he is in that room now. Nowadays, unless you're going through, you know, the traditional kind of midwife thing, but if you're in a hospital, he needs to be in there for the simple fact, if something's going down that's flaky, there'll be an eyewitness there that's not tied into the system. Because there are a lot of things that do happen that can go wrong when you're inside of the delivery room. And so he ought to be there. And my daughter is 40 years old, at 40 years old, and now she's had her first biological child. Her father was in the room when she was born. He was right there, and I was holding on to his arm. And we always laughed about it later on. He said it took his arm like, it was like months to heal because it was so sore from me pulling on his arm. Because she was an only child. I never had any more since then biologically, but I have three wonderful sons adopted. So I say this, it's a very painful situation. And your honey bun should be right there to see everything and get you through it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
I agree. There is a lot, spiritually speaking, there is a lot of energy going on, really all the time, but especially when a woman is bringing forth life into this world, and the baby will feel what the mother is feeling as the baby is coming into this world. Mm-hmm. And to have the father there present, holding hands or just standing there looking on, is so important. Mm-hmm. It is so critical. And then, like Mother Hattie says, it's so many things that go on behind closed doors. And looking on the negative energy side of it, sometimes you're told certain things that happened and it didn't happen because no one was there to prove it. So, yes, the man needs to be there. The father needs to be there for support, for spiritual support, and also for legal support to see what the heck is going on with that baby, you know. When I had my child, the father was not allowed. That was, you know, over 40 years ago. And then later,
the fathers were present. They actually just saw the baby come forth. And I did feel very wistful about that, because I thought, wow, I wish that they had allowed that when I was giving birth. That would have made such a big difference.
You know, I wonder how and when did the rule change to allow fathers to be present in the room?
I don't know.
That would be a great, great project to understand and to see, because I do remember when they did not allow the fathers in the room well.
Oh.
And my guess is that it did have something to do with the women's liberation movement, and women started speaking out and saying, yes, he needs to be in here. Because I can remember a lot of classes getting cropped up that you go to prepare the father for being in the delivery room with the mother, because you do kind of have to prepare them, because you call it a lot of energy. I call this a lot of stuff to go on in there that sometimes, you know, certain people can't take it looking at it. It's a gory situation. I mean, it's nice, and it's natural, but I mean, to someone who is a little squeamish about certain things, you have to prepare them for it, you know, men, for that, looking and seeing that, particularly if they're actually going to be the first after the doctor or something to hold the baby and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the fact that and I agree with a lot of things that you ladies say, but I'm just wondering on the other side, like more traditionally, like back in Nigeria and Uganda and places where the vast majority of men are actually waiting for the child to be born, whether it's in the hospital or at home, and then they're called in.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more like of a cultural practice. I think that may be the difference also. Maybe like what you're speaking of in Nigeria, maybe they're still practicing the traditional fashion of men not being in the room. And maybe that's what works for them. Maybe they just haven't had this quote unquote like liberation movement where women started requesting the husbands in the room. I'm not sure, but I don't know if I could say either. I mean, if that's a good or a bad thing, but I do see the position of having someone there in the room, especially in this day and time. And we just finished speaking about hospital errors. In this day and time, having someone there in the room with you as a safety measure. But then, like from the position where you're coming from, brother, you would still have, say, those midwives or people that are there in the room, but just not the husband.
Because it seems to me that even in Africa, it just seems, I don't have any corroborative evidence, but it seems to me, just from what I've heard and spoken to the people who are coming from over there and I live here, is that generally over there, women don't even want the men in the room.
Okay.
You know, I'm just like, you know, we've been here for so long, whether you know, we're from here, all of us blacks in the West, whether we're black Americans or black English or black French, you know, we're generally the same kind of people the way we think, you know, as opposed to the black that have just, like, you know, been born and bred and raised on the African continent. It's an interesting topic, and I'm just wondering. I don't know. It's a really interesting topic. I think.
Yes,
you
it
know
is
what?
An interesting topic.
Another thing to look at is that, if the father is going to be supportive, or is he going to be more of a distraction? Because if he's going to be a distraction, then I could see how the mother would not want him in the room. And as Mother Hattie was saying, some people are not able to handle certain things. So for me, it's more of a both people wanting the same thing.
If he says, I want to be there, I want to be there with you, then yes, he should be allowed. If mm-hmm. he says, no, I don't want to, you know, then I think the woman should say, okay, if you can't have it, then you won't really be of help to me. So mm-hmm. that's how I'm looking at it beyond the spiritual part. I mean, if the man doesn't want to be in there, then obviously he's not into sharing the energy of the baby coming. So I think that needs to be respected for both sides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not you should be there. It's I would like him there. He wants to be here. Then it should be okay.
Then it should be fine. Absolutely. Well, all right. Well, that's an interesting topic, and maybe we can talk more about that later. Right now, we need to move on to our letter. Thank you so much for bringing that up, though, because I would like to know, when did that rule change, whereas you could have your spouse or the baby's father in the room during delivery? That would be interesting to find out. Let me share our MBS letter. We have a letter to share. This is from a woman who has an issue. She has an issue. Okay, and it reads, I am in a relationship with a man who has become a stranger. Our romance started off so well in the beginning. We seemed so right for each other. He listened intently when I talked and bought nice little gifts he knew I'd like, ran my bath water, showered me with flowers, and cooked my favorite dishes. When tough times came for me, he was very supportive. I admit things did go pretty fast. He was having problems with his landlord, so I let him move in. Things were going so well until I began to notice certain quirks or OCD habits arise. For instance, he likes his water to sit out for a few hours before he'll drink it. I forgot to pick up his beer on the way home from work one day, and he became irate. We began to argue over small things like how I put the paper towel on the spindle or the toilet paper over when it should be under, and even how long I stayed out with friends. He isn't as pleasant as he was when we first met. A few months ago, I became ill with tumors and had surgery. He became volatile and violent, and even complained that I was laying around too much. It is as if he didn't like the fact that I needed to rest and take care of me. I care very much for him and wish things could be like they were before I got sick. When I confront him about his complaining and attitude change, he says that I'm imagining things. He sulks most of the day and even looks different. He complains about everything I do. He is not the person who whined and dined me and swept me off my feet. I want him to leave, but he insists we are perfect for each other and that I must be patient. My friends don't like him, but he is a man of God and helps elders in the community, so I know he's a good man. One day last week, we had this huge argument. Then he stormed out for work. I prayed for some kind of sign as to what to do. Then before I could finish, he burst in the door, apologizing and begging for forgiveness. I am confused. Is this just a phase he's going through, or is this who he really is? # stranger in my bed. Ooh.
There's a stranger in my bed. Oh, my goodness gracious, honey child.
All right, let's see.
Sounds like a pretty classic case to me. Pretty common, pretty classic. When you let them move in with you, you're out of balance, number one. Never let a man move in nowhere with you. If he don't have a place, he probably should get a place first, and then y'all move in to his place, because you got him out of his role.
But what if some women feel like, well, I like my place, this is my home, I'm comfortable, I want to keep my house, I don't want to move in with him? Because, you know, women are so liberated now.
Yeah, sure. If it's a case like that, that's one thing. But clearly in her letter, she says he was having problems with his landlord.
Right.
And don't ever let a person move in with you that got problems with their landlord, because they're going to have problems with you. You can believe that.
You can believe that.
So if it's a situation, depends on, I think, the situation. And yes, if she likes her place, that's fine. Maybe y'all should find a place together that both of y'all like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's just a real classic case. The guy's going to definitely... A real man, I just don't even think he moves in with a woman, if you ask me. I just look at it like that. But
well, you know,
real men take care of their business, and they take care of their woman.
Yeah. I'm very old-fashioned, and I would prefer, because I grew up in that age, whereas that's how it happened. That was the play. That was the norm. You get married, the man has a house, or your parents gift you a house if you come from a excuse me, wealthy family, and the two of you move in. But, you know, never the, you know, man come and he move in with you and all that business. I just didn't grow up in that age. Now, I know that may be the norm for many people now, and whatever works for you, work, you know, let that work. But now, in this letter, she does mention that she wants him out, and he has these little particular behaviors that seems to be, apparently, is annoying to her. So I certainly wouldn't deal with anybody that's very annoying to me. If it's bothering me that much that I have to mention it, then it's just too much. And you're not going to make me uncomfortable in my life, and certainly not in my home. And I really don't want anybody, like the quote that we mentioned, you don't have to have permission from anybody to live your life. I don't need you running my life.
Exactly.
One thing I love that Maya Angelou said, when you left home, you raised. And nobody else can raise you. I had to actually tell this guy that I was involved with before. I had to tell him, babe, I already been raised. Now, you may not like the way I've been raised, but you can't raise me. You cannot re-raise me.
Right.
So if you don't like me, then you don't have to be with me. You really don't. It's okay. It's okay. I'll get over it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'll get over it.
Who wants to be irritated in their own domain? I don't think so.
Thank you. I know that's right. Featherlight, what do you say?
I'm looking at his traits. I'm looking at how he started off one way, and then it flipped, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of character. One thing I wanted to point out to some ladies is beware of those who bombard you with gifts and all this attention all at once, and it's all quick and it's fast, and it's like, oh, he's the man of my dreams, and he says I'm the one, and we're going to be together forever, and yes, I just met him 6 weeks ago, but it's just wonderful. And then the next thing is, you know, like Mother had said, you're living together, and this is a tactic used by narcissists. And it's called love bombing. Like you bomb something, you bomb a person with love, and you take them so fast, because these narcissist people wear masks, and they could only pretend for just a short period of time, so they got to move fast, and they got to reel you in, and especially if you're a giver. If you're, you know, really warm, loving, compassionate person, you want to help people, they tag people like that, because they know that they're going to be a cooperative partner. They know that that they have a strong sense of tolerance, you know, because they're just loving people. Oh, he did this, but you know, he was having a bad day. They're more forgiving. So narcissists target people like that, and they can bring your self-esteem down. They can make you feel like you're crazy.
Here she is wondering what to do, and this is her home. He's fussing about how she puts the toilet paper on the wall. Over or under? Baby, it doesn't matter. However he gets on there, what's the big deal? And these kind of people, they make you feel like you're doing something wrong all the time. They never want to admit that they're at fault. If she's at a point where she wants him out, there's really no question. When you start wanting somebody out, then it's time for them to leave. And if you don't know where you stand with someone, she's like, oh, I'm so confused. If you don't know where you stand with someone, then it's time for you to start walking the other way. In this case, let him walk out the door. My advice is three letters, one word, one syllable. Run. Run.
As fast as you can. And say, you can't catch me.
To the nearest exit. Stage left. Exit.
Exit. So, sister, the advice we have here tonight is go ahead on and put him out. And you just go on about your life. Keep listening to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And we will help you lift your frequencies. Okay? Because you don't
if you have a brother or a male friend, you may want to call them up. Because if this is truly a narcissist, then they can get a little volatile. As you said before, she said before, he's been volatile. So you may need a couple of male friends standing next to you as you tell him, look, I really want you out. I really want you out.
Call your daddy. Call your brother. Mm-hmm.
Your male best friend.
Yeah. But, oh my God, these people are so crazy now. You just hate to get other people involved and get them all caught up in a bunch of stuff, and they end up getting shot and ugh. But no, seriously though, if he's violent like that, and if she feels like she's being mistreated, then no, don't stay in any situation like that. Even if he's not living with you, just you don't need to be in a relationship like that. I wouldn't advise that.
No.
I wouldn't. But definitely, if you have to come home to that person and see them and they have an attitude, oh no, that we're not doing. But what we are going to do quickly is take a break, and then we're going to come back with our African spirit. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and we'll be right back. And I think you have a Did You Know also, Featherlight, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Okay. Get sure that we come out.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Donna Wu-Tanga, we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Don't forget to donate to the Black Talk Media Network project so that we can keep these shows coming to you live and keep Black Talk Radio available for people all around the world. Thank you for tuning in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. All right, Featherlight, what's up with the Did You Know?
Did you know in the Great Pyramids of Cheops, also known as the Pyramid of Khufu, owned by the ancient pharaoh Khufu, there is a symbol on the wall that looks exactly like the Wi-Fi symbol we see on our computers and phones every day. This pyramid is listed as one of the seven wonders of the world. You go inside, if you go inside, you would see these symbols on the wall. They've been there for thousands of years. The public, however, is prohibited from entering this particular pyramid, although it's one of the seven wonders of the world. But they can enter the smaller one. Ancient Egyptians, black people, knew about electricity. Experts from U.S. Space Office Administration believe inside the pyramid there is likely enough energy equivalent to the atomic bomb. Did you know?
Did you know? All right. Yes, I love that piece of history with the did you know. I love history. I've seen that image of the Wi-Fi symbol where people say, oh, that looks like a Wi-Fi symbol.
It is.
I have seen it.
One of the many things that's been stolen.
All right, let's do our African spirit. African spirit time. We are honoring. I'm hearing a buzz somewhere. Louder now. Where's that coming from? Okay. I don't know where that buzz is coming from. Go away, buzz, buzz, buzz. All right, African spirits. God, we have some music. Dun, 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 dun. Music. Maestro. Maestro. There we are. Yes, I know we kind of threw it off, Scotty, because Featherlight came in with the did you know we were supposed to have our music. But we're here now with the African spirit, and tonight we are honoring Charlotte Louise Bridges Fortin Grimke, African-American anti-slavery activist, poet, and educator, born August 17th, 1837, and she transitioned July 23rd on your birthday, Featherlight, 1914. She grew up in a prominent abolitionist family in Philadelphia and taught school for years, including during the Civil War, to freedmen in South Carolina. Later in life, she married Francis James Grimke, a Presbyterian minister who led a major church in Washington, D.C. Okay, one second. I'm sorry, my computer jumped. And let me get back to Miss Grimke. Pardon me. Her diaries, written before the end of the Civil War, have been published in numerous editions in the 20th century and are significant as a rare record of the life of a free Black woman in the North in the antebellum years. She became a member of the Salem Female Anti-Slavery Society, where she was involved in coalition building and fundraising. She proved to be influential as an activist and leader on civil rights, and occasionally spoke to groups on abolitionist issues. She was acquainted with people such as William Wells Brown and Wendell Phillips, Maria Weston. She was the first African-American teacher hired to teach white students in a Salem public school. She began writing poetry, much of which was activist in theme, and her poetry was published in The Liberator and Anglo-African magazines. So we want to honor her with all of her literary abolitionist work.
That was a tough time.
Yes. And you can actually read more about her journals. You just Google her. I think I first read about her, I'm trying to think, was it in the Underground Railroad book, or I don't know, maybe just reading about her from reading about abolitionist work. But I know she was mentioned in, was it Harriet Jacobs' Incidents of a Slave Girl? She may have been mentioned in that as well. But we just want to honor her tonight. Thank you for your contribution and uplifting of race and speaking about race issues.
Which so many people try to shy away from, but it's there. It's the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Can't ignore it.
there were people like her and my other favorite, Frances Harper, Frances Ellen Harper. These were people that spoke up about race issues so prophetically, so profoundly. And I just love their writings. I really enjoy reading their poetry and their writings. So let me just share quickly our gemstone also, Fire Agate, because we're raising our frequencies, lifting our vibrations, and gemstones help us with that. So the Fire Agate gemstone, some of the benefits: deep connection to earth. This stone will calm and settle your energy, especially prior to meditation. It aids in introspection, brings inner problems and blocks up for examination, slowly and safely dispelling fear. And this stone can also alleviate stomach and endocrine problems, treat circulatory disorders and your nervous system, eye problems, and enhances your night vision. And if you use this stone, if you meditate with the stone, place it on your forehead. But you can actually wear it anywhere. Like some people wear the gemstones for jewelry, so you can wear it on your right arm, left arm. You can wear the gemstone, in a necklace. But to receive the most powerful benefits, place it on your forehead when you meditate. And that's the Fire Agate.
Thank you so much. That is a wonderful jewel stone, gemstone to have. I see where you mentioned it encouraged you to speak up.
Yes. For timid adults and shy children, this gemstone will also help you to speak your truth and speak up. So that it will release that fear so that you can speak your truth.
Mm-hmm.
What we speak about here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show. And I have mailed out gemstones this week. I didn't mail them out last week. So gemstones have been mailed out. I still have some more. If you would like a green adventuring gemstone, which is a great grounding gemstone. And I also have some red jasper gemstones. So you can email us at mindbodyandspiritradioshow, and we can mail out a gemstone to you. Mail out the adventuring and the red jasper. I'll speak more about the red jasper next week. But if you Google that, if you Google the red jasper and you decide you want one, just shoot us an email and we'll mail it out to you. And I also have some rose quartz.
Oh, wonderful. And also, if you would like to know what your name means in the energy, send us your full name, first, middle, and last name, at birth, and also your birth date, month, day, and year. And we will be happy to calculate those letters and numbers for you, and you will be amazed at what you will find out. Some of the information you already knew, but this confirms, and some other information that you really weren't aware of, like what is your soul's desire.
So,
very interesting. And what's your path number, which is also your lucky number. That's why you get to know too.
Mm-hmm. Perfecto.
All right. Okay. So, I am going to do a short, very short spoken word that I will do before we do our breathing. So I need some little pop, little finger popping.
Snap.
As I come to the stage, and I sit down on the stool, and the spotlight is on me, and I smile at the audience, and I say, the title of my piece tonight is 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I am not here to please you. I am not here to make you happy. I'm not even here to entertain you. I have a mission. I have to set my stage and invite certain people into my life, my stage, who I feel subconsciously or consciously can help me complete my mission here. Painful at times it may be, you are trying to be the director of that stage, my life. And strangely, I am allowing you that right. This is my stage. Have I lost my mind? Yes. Now I must find again my heart and love me. You can no longer direct my play, my life. You are, as of this moment, fired. You are fired for insubordination, malicious acts and heinous acts toward nature, animals, and human beings, particularly this writer, myself. And you are fired because you are a habitual liar and thief. So you have exactly 5 minutes to get the frankincense off my stage. And counting 2, 3, 4. Namaste.
Oh, wow. Namaste. Right, you are fired.
Thank you. Thank you. You are fired. You are no longer allowed to direct my stage.
No, you are not. All right there. Thank you. You can go.
You can, yes, you can go. Thanks, you can go.
Kick rocks. Kick rocks. Get out of here. All right.
Yes, kick rocks. All right, let's see. I want to... Do we have a few minutes for me to go over... Oh, the impact. Oh, what a feeling. Let me see. Are there any empaths in the audience?
Mm-hmm.
Empaths are... They're very... I won't say... Well, sensitive, but they feel energy. They're highly tuned. Highly tuned individuals are empaths. And I did want to share, as I fumbled through my paperwork,
okay,
what are some of the signs of the empath? They want to heal the world, for one thing. They are very, very giving people, which makes them a target for people like narcissists. They can feel another person's energy. And it doesn't have to be right there in front of them. They can feel a lie. It's all a lie. Yes. They're hyper aware of shifts in the surroundings, like walking in a room. They also have a hard time saying no to people. They constantly attract broken wing birds of bullies in relationships. They can't watch the news. Hypersensitive bright lights, hypersensitive to noise. They can feel sick, physically sick at violence of any kind. They feel other people's pain. They get the strong first impressions of people that end up being spot on.
Spot on.
These are, yes. Sad movies can be overwhelming. You have a deep need to make the world a better place, and you're more aware of the suffering in the world than others. You can feel sick or shaky around certain people. I have felt that. You help so much, you're actually exhausted, but you can't stop helping. So these are some of the, sometimes it's hard to get non-empaths to see and understand the traits of the empath. They're really here to kind of heal. And sometimes they are judged and misunderstood by people. And sometimes when the empath doesn't say anything, they say nothing, so it fits other views, because they have a phobia of for conflict. Phobia for conflict. It just needs to be smooth. So those are some of the traits of the empath. And narcissists and empaths, that could be a train wreck, and it can also be a growth for the empath, because empaths are naturally healers and supporters, and they want to save the world.
Yes.
So they are sincere.
Mm-hmm.
But narcissists only pretend that they are a tortured soul who needs some kind of special love that the empath offers, but they're takers, and they love to manipulate. And so narcissists wear different masks because they're chameleons, and they can actually meet an empath and start taking on the characters, the characteristics of that empath, the persona, because the empath has certain characters that the narcissist does not have. They are emotionally bankrupt, so they don't have those wonderful characters or traits that they see in the empath. So they will mimic them and pretend, oh, I feel that way too. Oh, really? I'm very spiritual too. Oh, yes. I believe in the stars. Oh, yes. Numbers? Yes. Oh. And so the empath is like, oh, great. Somebody I can talk to. Oh, great. And they need help too. Oh, I'm fulfilling my mission of the world. And so, but the narcissist begins to try to control the empath. And actually, if you are ever with a narcissist, they can take everything, your sense of self, your finances, your home, your job, because they get you so wrapped up into them. And you're constantly trying to fix them. You're constantly trying to see what's wrong, like the lady who sent the letter. You're trying to figure out, what did I do? What did things change? Maybe I can do this a little bit better. Maybe if I did this, they would be happy like they were. But you can never fix a narcissist. It can never be fixed. You have to just break the ties. So that is just a little information that I wanted to share about the narcissist. They're not interested in the deep thoughts of an empath. They put on a good show. They will love bomb you into into giving them unconditional love. And then they will show, like the lady mentioned in the letter, oh, he's a good man because he helps in the community. They will make sure that you see, a narcissist will make sure that you see them doing some wonderful things so that you can say, oh, wow, I'm so impressed. But it's all a show. It's all
a show. All a show. Empath or narcissist, which one are you? I just tweeted that out. Which one are you?
And oh, one other thing before we go into our rest and release. I said that it could be a train wreck, because if you're not aware of what the narcissist is doing and you think that this is your last love and your only love, when it's not, they can send an empath into a whirlwind of depression. And the empath who is so full of energy, even when the relationship is over, the energetic bond still exists with the empath. The narcissist is going on his next conquest, because the empath finally said no, or he just got tired. So it is important that the empath realize that it was not their fault, and that person cannot be healed, because you cannot be healed if you do not realize that there is something wrong or that you are diseased in some kind of way. So You may think that a person is your soul mate, and being a soul mate does not necessarily mean that they will be in your life forever. It does not necessarily mean that they are there to make you happy, to make your world a better place, or whatever you think that a soulmate does. A soulmate is really there to help you heal, and it can sometimes be painful. They are there to show you the areas that you need healing in, and that could be a best girlfriend. That can be, it could be a dog. It could be, it doesn't have to necessarily be romantic, but it's somebody that you can totally relate to, and it's somebody that is going to help you grow.
Yes.
That's what we need to do, and that's why we're here, to grow.
Almost like a twin flame.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let us get ready to relax and release. Anything else that you wanted to add?
I am so ready to relax and release. I guess before we relax and release, I just want to remind people to go onto Black Talk Media Network page and donate. And also don't forget to follow Black Talk Media Network page. Follow Black Talk Media Network, and also follow Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show and Women United. You can follow us at MBS Radio Show. You can follow Women United at Women United BLK. And Featherlight, what's your Twitter handle?
What's my what?
And Featherlight, Twitter handle. We'll talk about it.
I actually, let's see, Feather _ Amenya, AMENYA. You know what? I just really got onto this Twitter thing, so don't ask me that yet. I'll tell you next week.
Yes. No worries.
Right, so you know young folks, the older people, we're kind of slow and
we're bringing you guys into it. We're bringing you guys into the whole Twitter.
I said I called it an ampersand. It's like, oh, okay. Okay. Anywho. Take a deep, conscious breath. You are aware that you are breathing. You're not into tomorrow. You're not into yesterday. You're here right now, and you are taking a deep, conscious breath. You can place your hands on your abdomen, your lower abdomen, to make sure that you're breathing properly. When you inhale, your abdomen actually balloons outward and your hands go outward. And when you exhale, goes in. Your energy core is right in your lower abdomen. The women, you can place your hand, your left hand over your right, and men, reverse, right hand over left. That's the sequence. Keeping your shoulders relaxed and down, inhale, then exhale and drop your right ear towards your right shoulder. Now slightly tuck in your chin and softly breathe. Now take a deep inhale and lift your head back to the center. Exhale and gently drop your left ear towards your left shoulder. Slightly tuck in your chin, keeping your shoulders down and relaxed. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Exhale, 2, 4, 5. Inhale again, 4, and exhale, 2, 3, 5. Now take a deep inhale and bring your head back to the center. Now I'd just like you to just twist your body from your hips, letting your arms follow easily. Keep your feet planted a little bit wider than your shoulder width apart, and just swing, making sure your shoulders feel no pain. Okay. And slap your lower abdomen and your lower back with your hands as you swing. these are your important energy centers, your lower abdomen and your spine. You're waking up the energy there, and slowly, slowly just swing. Now, slowly unwind and come to a stillness. Now, you're going to stand with your feet shoulder width apart and raise your hands over your head, palms facing each other, and look upward and gather some good heavenly chi. And slowly bringing the chi down over your crown, over your face, past your chest, your energy core center, your abdomen, and pushing down towards your feet. Once more, the slower your movements, the more chi you will feel. Just make it very slow and concentrated. Raise your hands up over your head, bring down the chi, and shower your body again with good energy. Last time, this time, I want you to bring your hands into a pyramid or triangle, and you put it above your head, and then bring the energy down in the pyramid to your lower abdomen, and just hold it there. Breathe. Breathe. One last time. This time you're going to bring your hands down, sweep over, up, and down into the Angelou prayer symbol with your hands right in front of your chest. Anjali Mudra, smile, take a slight bow to your inner self and say namaste. Thank you for joining us in our Kiyang and Pranayama practice with mind, body, and spirit. Don't forget to stretch every single day. Your body will thank you for it. See you next week, same time, same place, same station. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Featherlight. I feel so relaxed after that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just want to just crawl up under my covers now and just say yes, I am so grateful. Peace and good night, everybody. We'll be back next week.